And I'm going to talk to you about a man of faith, Caleb, from the Old Testament. Is that okay? By the time this passage of scripture that I'm going to read in Joshua comes about, he's the oldest man in Israel. He is the oldest man in Israel. I heard someone say the other day, you know, when I watch worship, I don't really pay attention to the young people worshiping because they just full of energy and passion and all that kind of stuff. And it really doesn't move me much. But when I see a gray-haired saint that's 80 and 90 years old worshiping like they with passion and power and grace and mercy, that moves my heart. Because they've been through something and still have something. I know a few saints like that's been a part of our church. First service in this place, I got a picture of Dick Granger, who was probably 85, 86 at the time, with his hand stretched up like this, and you thought he was lost, and he was in worship. Bob Burke, who's a part of our church, World War II veteran, he just turned 96, I think. I went to see him the other day, took him a strawberry shake. I love to watch him worship. Because he's all in. At 90 years old, I want to be all in. Amen? That's Caleb. He was all in. He believed God had a purpose for the people of Israel when they left Egypt. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 23, God said this to the people of God. He brought us out of Egypt so he could give us this land he had sworn to give our ancestors. Can I tell you, God never gives up on his promise. I've seen some people give up on his promise. But God never gives up. You know what that means? You can. You don't have to give up on his promise because he's going to come through. In Joshua 14, verse 6, it says this. A delegation from the tribe of Judah led by Caleb, the son of the Kenizzite, came to Joshua at Gilgal. And Caleb said to Joshua, remember what the Lord said. Who said it? You're going to see Caleb mention that over and over again. God said. God said. Can I tell you something? If God says something to you, he's going to bring it to pass. Remember what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, about you and me when we were at Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land of Canaan and return and gave an honest report. You understand, he's one of the 12 spies that went into the land. And who gave the good report? Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb. Verse 8, but my brothers who went with me frightened the people from entering the promised land. For my part, I wholeheartedly follow the Lord my God. So, verse 9. So that day, Moses solemnly promised me, the land of Canaan on which you were just walking will be your grant of land, and that your descendants forever, because you wholeheartedly follow the Lord my God. As you can see, the Lord has kept me alive and well as he promised. For all these 45 years since Moses made this promise, even while Israel wandered in the wilderness, today I am 85 years old. I am as strong now as I was when Moses sent me on that journey. Can I tell you, God knows how to preserve you? Huh? And I can still travel and fight as well as I could then. So give me the hill country. King James Version says, give me that mountain that the Lord promised me. Who did it? The Lord promised me. You will remember, as a scout, we found the descendants of Anak living there in a great walled town. But if the Lord is with me, I will drive them out of the land, just as the Lord's. You know who they are? They're the giants. They're left over from the Nephilim. You can read that later, but they're the giants. Nobody wanted to go up that mountain because they're the giants up there. Hebron still belongs to the descendants of Caleb, the son of Jephthah, the Kizanite, because he wholeheartedly followed the Lord, the God of Israel. Previously, Hebron had been called Kiriath Arba. It had been named after Arba, a great hero of the descendants of Anak, and the land had rest from war. Lord, in the next few moments, speak to our hearts and our lives. On this Father's Day, Lord, give us Calebs. Give us men and women of faith, Lord, who believe your word. Speak to our hearts and help us to be what you need us to be in this hour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When you read that passage of Scripture, five times he receives or refers to the word of the Lord. Five times he refers to the promise that God gave me. Five times the world. The word of God was the foundation of his request. Give me that mountain. It was the foundation. In Numbers chapter 14, verse 24, it says this: but my servant Caleb had a different attitude than the others had. He remained loyal to me, so I will bring him into the land he explored. His descendants will possess their full share of that land. That's what God said about Caleb. I don't know about you, but one day I'm going to stand before him, and I want God to say, I had a different spirit. I had a different attitude. There were 12 spies that went out, came. Two came back with a positive report, and the other were intent on making the people of God fearful, and they did. And what happened is, they all died in the wilderness, except for Joshua and Caleb. Glory to God. A different attitude. That word there talks about courage in his attitude. It signifies the activity of one's life is not one of fear, but boldness. To take hold of what God has promised. Think about it. From Joshua 14, when Caleb says, give me that mountain, to the report in Numbers 14, 45 years had gone by. 45 years had gone by. But guess what? Caleb never gave up. He never goes away from what God had promised him. Think about it just for a moment. There Moses was in the forefront. And guess what? His buddy, Joshua, who stood with him and gave a good report, had a different spirit about him, rules the people of Israel. He leads the people of Israel. And for 45 years, you hear nothing of Caleb. 45 years on the back burner. Not a word about Caleb. And there he is, just following. Just being, not giving up on what God had promised him. 45 years. He waited for the promise to come to pass. I don't know about you, but I have trouble waiting 15 minutes in line. 45 years he held on to the promise that God made him in the wilderness. 45 years with no vision, no hope. He just had been there and traveled and traversed that land that God had promised to Abraham. He knew God had made it for a provision. He said, let's go. And the people of God said, no. And they all died in the wilderness. See, the other spies brought a discouraging word, caused the people of God to fear. Matter of fact, the scripture says this, their hearts melted with fear. But not Caleb and Joshua. They served the Lord. This is the word they use, wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly. That means this, they were willing to bank their whole life on what God had said. The covenant that God had made. Two things are brought to the surface. Caleb was one of the ones who received the promise. And Caleb was taking hold of that promise. There's a world of difference between receiving something and taking hold of it. And for Caleb, it meant taking on giants. For Caleb, it meant doing something. Just because God promised you something doesn't mean you're not going to have to get involved in the fulfillment of that promise. The Anakites represented a fearsome enemy. Let me tell you something. Nobody else was claiming that mountain. Just Caleb. Can I tell you, Caleb understood the adversaries. And when you claim the promise of God and begin to work, you're going to have adversaries. You're going to have people that stand in the way. People who see the situation and fear. Enemies of heaven do not want you to have God's provision over your life. They're the ones who caused the people of God to shrink back and fear and not receive the promise 40 years ago. And at 45 years of age, Caleb was still relying on God. Even though it had been 45 years, he's still holding on. Caleb becomes the witness that God will fulfill his promise to you. The faithful servant of God can and will have success over his enemies. Caleb says, give me that mountain. I'll take the high mountains. He took the unpopular stand, and based on what God said, he stood. They, that is Joshua and Caleb, felt the isolation of standing in faith. You know, they even talked of stoning them. Numbers chapter 10, verse 14, look at it. But the whole community began to talk about stoning Joshua and Caleb. Now, there you go. You're standing on God. Now they want to stone you. You're standing on. Now they want to. And look what it goes on to say. Ready? Then the glorious presence of the Lord appeared to all the Israelites at the tabernacle. Can I tell you something? You stand on God's promise and heaven will invade to protect you. Don't you ever forget that when you battle for the Lord, when you stand on his promise, when you stand on his side, he has a purpose, a defender that will stand with you. Hallelujah. And you can be thrown in the mouth, in the lion's den, and the lions aren't hungry anymore. You can be thrown into a fiery pit, and the fire won't consume you. Can I tell you, there's something powerful about standing in the presence of God. The defense of Caleb and Joshua that day was the presence of God. The presence. The presence. I want his presence more than anything else. I don't care if the band does good or worship guys does good. I don't really care if the band's on tune or in tongue and can do all that timing. Someone said the other day, why don't you guys clap? I started clapping, and the person next to me said, because I work on a different rhythm. I stopped clapping because I was messing them up. but his presence. His presence. And something happens when his presence invades my space. I don't care if it's in the house like this or in my prayer time. There's something that happens when his presence invades. There's something happens in my heart. I get humbled. I don't know. We need a little more humility in the church. Because everybody knows how to do it. Everybody knows how to lead worship. Everybody knows how to do stuff. I'm going to tell you, there's something about being in his presence that will humble you. You'll realize you're nothing. He's everything. You'll realize you don't know as much as you thought you knew. You'll understand his greatness. You'll understand something about heaven's power coming upon you to pray like you've never prayed before in your life. There's something powerful about his presence, his empowering presence on the people of God that'll cause them to do great exploits because they know him. His presence. It inspires ideas like building an ark. A what? A boat. Noah, we don't need a boat. Yeah, we do. Because it's about to rain. It took him 120 years to build a boat. Holding on to what God said. You ever found that secret place where his presence just shows up? You know that closet of prayer? You see, Caleb and Joshua had something more than just an attitude. They saw beyond. You see, when the people spied out the land, all the people could see was the giants. Caleb and Joshua didn't see the giants. They saw the God who was bigger than the giants. I don't know. There's something about his presence that causes me to behold his beauty in ways I've never fathomed. His love, his power, his grace toward my own life. The silence of his majestic glory. Do you read that in the book of Revelation? When he appears, because there's nothing like Jesus. In his presence, the embrace of heaven happens. And when that happens in my life, I just let him do what he needs to do in me. I crawl up into the lap of my Heavenly Father. And at my age, I'm still crawling up in his lap. I should say at my maturity. Ouch. In his presence. In his presence, there's healing through his overwhelming love that invades your space. His presence. There is nothing in the world like his presence. He is the God who invades our space in moments and times and seasons when we're weary, when we're struggling, when we've lost, and when we've gained. He is there. The visitations of God have marked my life. Exclamation points. Where he showed up. And my prayer is this. Do it again, God. Do it again, God. Don't let us just have church, God. Invade this place with your presence, Lord. Because we, the people of God, cannot fight the giants of our age unless we see him in his fullness and his majesty and his greatness. Because if you don't see him, you'll walk in fear. The world will silence you. You and I need to learn to rest in his presence. I'm convinced it's easy to have wholehearted allegiance when you've encountered the presence. When you've been overwhelmed with the tangible presence of God. Think about it. Caleb didn't abandon the people of God when they said no. I don't know about you, but I know a lot of believers. You know, they didn't want to do me, I'm gone. I know a lot of pastors. They didn't want to do what I wanted to do, so I left them. Well, that's not what Moses did. That's not what Caleb did. He didn't give up because his hope wasn't in the people. It was in the God who brings things to pass that no one else can bring to pass. And what God is trying to say to the nation of Israel and to us, what is before us is not within us, but he and only he can bring it about. You see, faith translates into courage in life's challenges. That's why Caleb can say, give me that mountain in the face of giants. Give me that mountain. You know why he wanted that mountain? To give his children an inheritance. You know what was on that mountain? The scripture says, springs, water. You know what he was doing? Building an inheritance where his children would always have a supply. And you know what happens when David becomes king? He sets up his first throne in Hebron. That's the same mountain that Caleb. Do you understand what Caleb is saying? Give me that mountain. He's laying the foundation for the future of Israel in ways that he could not even fathom. That's where King David would begin to rule and reign and begin to conquer the land that God had promised. You and I look at things in the natural and we say, oh, it's just this, it's just that. But I'm telling you, when God leads his people, it's just not for the now. It's about what he's going to do tomorrow. And I'm going to tell you, he was willing to take on those giants because he measured the size of God. And he knew the giants were no match. Numbers 14:9 was the reality of his life. Look at that. Do not rebel against the Lord. Do not be afraid of the people of the land. They are only helpless prey to us. They have no protection. But the Lord, say it with me, but the Lord is with us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But the Lord is with us. Thank you, Jesus. And then he says this, don't be afraid of them. Glory, I don't know what your future looks like, but I know who does. Don't be afraid. You crawl up into his lap. You be a man or woman of God of his presence, and he'll take care of your tomorrows. There's no need for you to fear what tomorrow has. I don't know what they're going to say about me. I don't know what they're going to do about me. I don't know what. Don't you worry about that. Because there is a God in heaven who knows how to sweep you up and cuddle you in the care of his power, of his protection, of his grace, of his mercy, and heal the wounded places of your life and make you into something you never thought you could be. Hallelujah! Because he turns shepherd boys into giant slayers and into kings. And if he can do that for a shepherd boy, he can do that for you. That's the God we serve. Think about it. Adversaries isolation because of your faith. They're ready to stone you, and courage shows up. Never forget the promises of God. You know what he said? I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Think about it. Caleb remembers the promises of God through Moses. Verse 9, so that day Moses solemnly said, promise me, the land of Canaan on which you were just walking will be your grant of land, and that for your descendants. I'm glad there's something powerful about leaving something, a heritage. I remember one time Linda and I were taking a walk, and Benjamin was on my shoulders. It was a long time ago. And I was singing a hymn, carrying him on my shoulders. And he was trying to babble with me. And these people came by, and they just looked at me. And here we are hiking, and I'm singing this hymn, and God reminded me. Because I felt a little uneasy about, you know, these people coming or whatever, hearing me sing. And the Lord reminded me, there's something powerful about a heritage of faith. You know what? I'm glad I have a heritage to pass on. I'm glad I have something of faith to pass on. Now listen, I didn't go to church growing up. My mom and dad were just good pagans. But God changed my heritage. He changed my destiny. Through what? His presence invaded my space. And I became a new creature in him. Something powerful about that. Stand with me. In Joshua 23, you will find the final words of Joshua. The final words of Joshua. And I'm just going to read a couple of them to you today. As the worship team moves its way back to the platform. Joshua 23:3. You have seen everything the Lord your God has done for you during my lifetime. The Lord your God has fought for you against your enemies. Don't you love that? Has God ever fought for you? Has God ever fought for you against your enemies? Joshua 23, verse 5. This land will be yours. For the Lord your God will himself drive out all the people living there now. You will take possession of their land just as the Lord your God has promised you. Joshua 23, 10. Each one of you will put to flight 1,000 of the enemy. For the Lord your God fights for you. Just as he has promised. Who's fighting for you? I hope it's not your intellect. I know you're a smart person, and I know you got it all figured out, but I'm going to tell you what, there is a God in heaven. And I'm glad I know him, because he's smarter than me. Joshua 23, 14. Soon I will die, going the way of everything on earth. Deep in your hearts, you know that every promise the Lord your God has given has come true. Not a single one has failed. Glory to God. Glory to God. Listen, there are two things we are as people of God. Number one, we are people of His presence. And number two, we are people who cling to the promise. He said, I'm going away to prepare a place for you. Glory to God. God, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord God, for the courage of your people, Lord, to give in the sight of all kinds of financial obstacles and gas prices and all the like. Thank you, Lord God, for the people of God who just hang to the promise. God, I thank you for Caleb's, who are 45 years just holding on, and then one day it comes to pass what you promised. Thank you, Lord. God, help me to be that kind of man. Help me to be that kind of father. Help me, Lord God, to be a man of your presence, a man who just holds on to your presence, your promise. Help us today, Lord.